Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. With that simple, brief, single sentence, the psalmist begins to put paint to canvas. He summons white sheep, green pastures, refreshing waters. In the corners of the canvas, the psalmist reveals the lurking dangers: want, death, evil, enemies. But these are no match for the shepherd, a trustworthy provider, a wary guardian, a deft guide. The 23rd Psalm is a statement of trust, and it is an affirmation of faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For the psalmist, it is that simple and it is that true. There is no hedging here, not a hint of maybe or perhaps or under the right circumstances the Lord will be my shepherd. No, the assertion is as bald as it is bold. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the thing is that for this psalmist who sings this song, it is no flight of fancy, no groundless dream. On the contrary, the psalmist sings this bold, bold affirmation because he and Israel have seen it and known it and experienced it. They have experienced God's faithfulness, from freedom from slavery to manna in the desert, from defeat of enemies to guidance to the promised land. And all along the way, they were threatened by all kinds of menacing adversaries: want, death, evil, and enemies. And yet God provided, guided, rescued, fed, and comforted. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now hold that thought, I'm going to come back to it. This past Thursday, I lifted a small overnight bag into my car and drove the 2.5 hours from Boston to New Haven. Once there, I navigated the familiar streets until I reached the campus of Yale Divinity School, my alma mater. At the registration area, I greeted old friends and new acquaintances, a selection of professors and ministerial colleagues. We were a smallish group, perhaps 60 in all, gathered from all across the country for 2 days to discuss together one thing: the future of the church. And I was there participating and providing leadership because they wanted you there. They wanted Old South Church in Boston there at this conference and at this conversation. The conference and conversation concerned the decline of the church in North America, a church menaced by adversaries of many kinds: secularization, religious pluralism, materialism, to name a few. The truth is that churches and institutions of the church are, in North America, by and large, in grave peril, falling prey to a new world, a post-Christendom, post-modern world, to whose residents the Christian church appears irrelevant and archaic, a fossil from a past era. I was at this conference and conversation because, in contrast to much of what is happening out there, Old South is not in decline. We can see and measure our growth and our excitement. Now, the conference participants aren't interested in decline. They see it and they understand it. What they're interested in is success, faithfulness. Old South is thriving, and what makes this fact statistically improbable is that we express a faith that is not only joyous and confident, it is progressive, it is liberal, a faith marked more by grace than by judgment, a faith marked by our expression of liberality and openness, by our radical welcome, rather than by an exclusiveness. We represent a faith that many of you know well, because many of you know well that you, in fact, are not welcome at many churches across this land. So down at Yale Divinity School this past week, they wanted to know what is happening at Old South Church in Boston. And I was not shy in telling them. I told them about Quinn Caldwell and Elizabeth Meyer Bolton, but I didn't need to because they already know. These two young, gifted leaders both have national reputations in their own right. Churches and institutions of the church that are dying have a tendency to look old and shabby, outworn and outmoded. We, by contrast, have Quinn and Liz and also Alyssa, our student from Harvard Divinity School, and by their very presence, Quinn, Liz, and Alyssa embody and point to the future of the church, proclaiming that we are not interested in clinging to a gone past. We are aimed at God's future. I told them stories about how we worship at Old South. I told them that from everything we can tell, Jesus was really exciting to be with. And if that is true, then church on Sunday morning should not be snooze time. I told them that at Old South, we believe that a sanctuary filled with worshipers can be as thrilling, as profoundly engaging, as riveting in its own way, as is Fenway Park when the Sox are in town. Because it is given to us to handle together the mysteries of life and death, time and eternity, spirit and flesh, good and evil. And then, saving the best for the last, I told them about you, the congregation. I told them about your remarkable ability, even though you are 340 years old, your remarkable ability to adapt and change, your readiness to face into the future, your willingness to try new things when Quinn and Nancy think them up. This is in remarkable contrast to many congregations who are inclined to cling to what is known and familiar, even as it is killing them. In particular, I told them about how you are managing during this economic downturn. In a time of fear, in a time of want, I told them about your faithfulness and trust in God. I told them that while others all around us are responding in fear, you have responded in faith. While others are crying that the sky is falling, you have planted your feet and you've lifted up your arms and you are holding up that sky so it doesn't dare fall. I told them about an Old South member who was recently laid off of work. And this person came to us and said, "I'm going to be engaged in a search for work, but in the meantime and between my interviews and between sending out resumes, how can I help? How can I volunteer at Old South?" He volunteers at the front desk, and before the Boston Marathon and before Easter Sunday, he walked from hotel to hotel, chatting up the concierges and passing out our postcards and our flyers about our worship services and our events. And I told the people down at Yale that when the economic downturn was becoming more and more evident last fall, and we were worried about our pledging and whether we could carry on our ministry into this next year, I told them that two of our most generous families responded, each by increasing their pledges by $10,000. I told them about an Old South member who received an inheritance recently and who came to us saying this person wanted to tithe that inheritance to Old South, committing half of it to our mission and outreach and the other half to the restoration of these windows. I told the folks at Yale that it was in the middle of this economic downturn, right in the middle of it, when things looked bad and everybody was getting, you know, tight-fisted and holding on to what we had, I told them that it was right at that moment that our mission and outreach committee voted to give away $85,000, sending it out in the form of grants to a variety of tender ministries of mercy, ministries of housing, homelessness, youth violence, care for the elderly. I told them that other members were even now, even as I was down there in New Haven, up here planting an edible garden in our church yard to produce food in a time of scarcity, a time when food insecurity is a frightening and daily reality for many of our neighbors who live in Boston. I told them of our brand new knitting group, knitting shawls and sending them out to provide a warm embrace to those in need of comfort in a cold time. I told them about a young member of Old South, just now graduating from law school, even now studying for the bar, who has landed a terrific job with a Boston law firm. And this terrific job was to begin in September until the economy tanked, and the firm has delayed that start until January 2010. Initially stunned by this news, the next thing this new young Old South member did was to offer to serve here as a part-time voluntary intern at Old South to help us to work on our outreach and evangelism. He'll be working here September through January. I told them the story of another Old South member, a realtor, who discovered in the course of this economic downturn that some buyers are acting more like predators than buyers, taking advantage of sellers who are in effect these days like wounded prey. And this realtor, this member of our church, no longer found it possible to represent heartless and greedy buyers, this realtor has made a commitment to only represent sellers until things turn around. And I told them the story of an Old South member in process of selling a home and who has anonymously and generously committed to giving a portion of those proceeds to our mission and outreach efforts. And I told the story of Old South members who in June will be driving to Appalachia to build homes for others who are in even more dire economic circumstances than they. I told professors and colleagues at Yale Divinity School that as the ancient psalmist once painted a picture of what it looks like and what it feels like to trust in God during perilous times, I told them that that's exactly what Old South members are doing today, painting pictures of what it looks like and how it feels to trust God when all around us the world shouts that the sky is falling and our neighbors are seized with panic. If the sky is falling, we will stand with God and hold it up. If the poor are experiencing food insecurity, we will plant food and support feeding programs. If homeowners who must sell are vulnerable to heartless and predatory buyers, we will stand with the sellers. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The statement is a confession. It is a declaration of trust, not in things worldly or material, but in God, our ultimate provider. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is the declaration of a relationship. It heralds a way of life marked by both trust and generosity. It is the attitude of Christian faithfulness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If Old South is thriving, the reason is simple. It is as bald as it is bold. It is because we, together, are learning to trust God. Amen.